Brenda, your question.
Yeah, my question is, I live with, well, I rent a room from a lady who's a Protestant.
Okay.
She's ecstatic about the fact that there's another Christian in the house, because she is. She's non-denominational as far as the church, but she sees me going all the time to adoration, because our Perpetual Adoration Chapel opened up the 1st of February.
Right.
And she sees me going all the time. How is the best way that I can explain to her what adoration is and
right.
why we do it? Because I went to fill in for somebody the other night, and I got the eye roll, but I'm like, how do I explain that to her? We've already had the Immaculate Conception conversation, but
You know what? I'll tell you what I do, Brenda, is I kind of go the way the church went in the first several hundred years of the Christian era, because everything begins with the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist when you consider adoration. You know, because once you understand, for example, I start with 1 Corinthians. You could start with John chapter 6, of course. Unless you eat the flesh, Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. But I get to 1 Corinthians 10, 15 through 17, where St. Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a partaking of the blood of Christ? So first you see here that communion is what? Partaking in the blood of Christ. And the bread which we break, is it not a partaking of, koinonias in Greek, a partaking of the body of Christ? So there you have, okay, well, this communion is the partaking in the body and blood of the Lord. Then you go to chapter 11, 27 through 29, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup unworthily eats and drinks damnation to themselves. Why? Because they do not discern the body of the Lord. So not only is it a partaking in the body of the Lord, but there plainly it is the body of the Lord. And that's why it's a partaking in the body of the Lord. So once you see that, oh my goodness, then it makes sense. Because as you probably know, adoration didn't start immediately in the church. I mean, you can see in the earliest Christian documents, they would take the sacred host to those who were not present, and they were careful not to let one crumb fall to the ground because of the belief in the real presence. But adoration would actually come later. And it naturally follows from the reality, hey, this is Jesus. And he doesn't leave, as the Lutherans teach, at the end of service, right? But there is a real transformation that happens. We call it transubstantiation, where the bread and wine don't exist anymore. So once you see that, and that's what you see in the scriptures there. In fact, if you back up to 1 Corinthians 11:27, whoever eats the bread of the Lord, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. There you even have an indicator that Jesus is entirely present under either species, because if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So you have all sorts of theology there. Wow, he's entirely present under both species. And if I don't recognize this and I eat and drink damnation to myself. Wow, Jesus is really present there. And as a result of that, what else can we do except get on our knees and worship him?
Brenda, thank you so much for that question.